Let my mouth be filled with your praise, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your praise, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
Look at somebody and say, we're going to get the job done. And this is how you get the job done. How many got vision? So a promise from God that you want to see come to fruition, that you want to see come into existence. Or y'all believing for something. How many you believing for something? For your family, for your business, or for whatever it is. You're believing for bigger and better things. Well, these are steps that you can take to help you grab a hold of your vision and bring that vision to pass. How to get the job done. And you got to be calculated in that so that you're walking in the word. You don't have to guess. God will tell you how to make the word work. Well, he's telling us now on how to get the job done. The word can handle any area of your life. Any area of your life, the word of God will take care of it. Anything that's wrong, the word of God will get in there and correct it. But you got to trust the word of God to adjust yourself to what the Bible says is right. Not to your emotions, not to your feelings. You got to trust the word of God. The word of God brings health, life, wholeness, peace, and security. It'll also bring mental stability. Did you know that? And many people get off in the flesh and they want to do what they want to do. They want that instant fix to make themselves feel better for the instant. Instead of going to the Word of God and fixing it. Going to the Word of God and fixing it. And many times we can look at things temporarily and see people trying to get about these temporary solutions and temporary fixes. And if you're not careful, you can look at a temporary situation and give somebody some wrong advice. We're not called to give advice that looks right for the moment. We're called to stick in the word because the word is always true and it will never fail. So we've got to stick to the word. Well, in this case right here, God's telling us how to get the job done. And you need to apply these things to your life and apply these things to your ministry. Turn to Philippians. See, you got a vision and God doesn't want you to be ashamed. How many of you ran your mouth about your vision? And you run your mouth about something that you're believing God to do and he doesn't do that thing? That's real embarrassing, isn't it? Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. Well, God doesn't want you to be ashamed or embarrassed about anything when you step out by faith. When you step out to do something by faith and you step out to go do something you couldn't do on your own, you put yourself on the platform or on a stage and you better know how to tap dance. You're going to get yourself out there. How many of you gotten yourself out there and you're way out there? Well, God does not want to see you ashamed. You might have started to do something. Someone said, hey, it's not going to pay off. It's not going to work. You're going to waste everything you got. It's going to be really embarrassing. You're going to look like a fool. When you do what God tells you to do, you look very foolish because God's way up is down. When God wants you to come up, he tells you to get down. That's the way God does things. They won't understand that. People don't understand it. And Paul said, look, that in nothing I should be ashamed. And that's a mentality that we've got to have, is that our faith is not going to disappoint us. It's not going to forsake us. Nor will embarrass us. And God does not want you to be ashamed. And it's okay to think that way, just like Paul thought that way. But this is how you get the job done. In Philippians chapter 2, last night I was reading the word, and these little steps just blessed my heart so much that I'm going to share it with you. Don't do anything this year in strife or in vainglory. If you can covenant with yourself not to jump on any business deal, not to do any project, don't do anything, don't flow in strife or in vainglory. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Well, that solves a lot of problems. That helps us with some direction, doesn't it? When people want to do things in the church, and many times people want to do things in church, and they get motivated to do things through strife. Complaining about this and complaining about that. And they say, well, we need to do this because this isn't right or this is wrong, so we need to do this. And they, hey, pastor, can't we do this? Well, no, you got to find the spirit that it's coming out. Because the Bible says do nothing through strife and vainglory. Isn't that amazing? So when you see people moving in vainglory, looking for glory unto themselves or to make themselves look good. The Bible says do nothing through that. When you see people operating in strife in your business, in your family, or whatever it is, any motivation whatsoever, guess what? Don't use it and don't do anything in that. If you want to get your job done, when you include people in on what you're doing, do nothing through strife, nor in vainglory. Isn't that good? So you need to make a covenant if you want to get what God wants done this year, that you're not going to let anything happen through strife or vainglory, or you won't succeed. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. He says, look to others' needs before yourself. What does that mean? If you can develop this spirit, you want to get the job done, you have to have this mentality that you want to esteem other people's ministries just as important as yours and more. That you're not so concerned about your meeting as you would be for the church down the street or the other businesses. Even in dealing with business, and I believe this is where God's hitting us with business, you might got somebody that does the same thing you do. And how do you handle that? Do you compete with that person that does the same thing that you do? No, the Bible says, in lowliness and meekness, esteem the other person better than yourself. God can bless you. God can bless you if he wants to bless you. He doesn't have to bring anybody down to set you up. I don't have to be the only great preacher in town, or I don't even have to be the best preacher in town for God to allow me to accomplish my goal or my purpose. All I've got to do is be in the center of his will. Nobody has to come down in order for me to go up. It's not dependent on anybody else that's around you. God can bless your business, whether it's selling insurance, whether somebody moves right in the office next door to you selling the same insurance and they're 10 times better than you. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is follow the word, because you're not blessed by necessarily all of your abilities, but you're blessed by your ability to follow God's voice and the Holy Ghost. And it says to esteem others better than yourself. Isn't that hard to do? This is like a higher walk. This is called growing up in the faith. This is called growing up in the faith to where you're never moved. See, have you ever met people that are always jealous or always concerned? You can type and somebody else comes in and starts typing and they get real nervous. I've seen that in churches sometimes. You see that. One person can sing and another singer comes in and they get, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? I'm not going to have anything to do. Instead of walking in the spirit of the Holy Ghost and trusting God. It's not based on your ability, because the Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So if it's by the spirit, that spirit is the spirit of God. You don't have anything to do with it anyhow. So all you got to do is humble yourself and say, esteem others better than yourself. So if you want to get your job done, the first thing you do is do nothing. Don't be moved. Do nothing in strife or in vainglory. If you're motivated to do something and there's a spirit of strife in it, stop. It will not succeed. Don't go for it. Wait until that thing settles. Wait till people move out of the way and then go forward. You can't do anything. It doesn't even say judge it. You know what strife is. Strife is in the Bible. You can tell what strife is. But when that stuff comes down, it will shut your show down. You've got to wait. Do nothing in strife or in vainglory. The other thing is esteem others better than yourself. These are qualities of success. And God's speaking about success in life, success in your businesses. How many of you are glad to hear that? And God said, look, I'm going to deal with every area. In the move of the Spirit this year, God's going to allow the Word of God to touch every area of your life. And people think just the Bible and Scripture and the Holy Ghost meetings and preachers, that they're limited to just this little spiritual side. No, the Word of God wants to get in every little crevice of your life. So how many of you are glad that they allow the Word of God to slip out and get over to the money side when they start teaching prosperity? Oh, you're not supposed to talk about that. Well, no, they did. The Word of God was not limited to the little bit that they were teaching back then. And then somebody stretched out and said, hey, you can apply this to your finances. Somebody else said, hey, you can apply this to your health. You can apply this to your family and to your marriage. Well, you can apply this to your business. God's trying to step out beyond there and teach us how to succeed by the Word of God. So we esteem others better than ourselves. Now, how many of you are glad to hear those two things and you can apply that to your life? How many believe that's going to be a little bit hard sometime? And it's going to take great faith and spiritual maturity in order to do that. You got to build yourself up in the most holy faith so that when you're confronted with these things and your flesh wants to jump out there and you want to get into anxiety or fear or stress, because guess what? That stuff is coming this year and you've got to be prepared with the Word of God and program to where you're going to flow in the Scripture and you're going to flow in the Word. And you need to trust that your actions, that the steps that you're taking are steps that are ordered of the Lord and they're governed in the scripture, that the word of God will not let you fall or fail. You walk by the word, and walking by faith is walking by the word of God and trusting that, even though we don't understand it. You don't have to understand it, but you do have to do it. Another thing to get the job done that we need to flow in. It says, be concerned about others and help others. If we look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that is something else. Now, there is a time you need to mind your business. It's not talking about getting in everybody else's business. You need to mind your business. We don't want anybody minding everybody else's business. You need to mind your business. But what I really believe this is saying, it says, don't just be concerned about your stuff and your business, your ministry and your church. Don't get so loosed in that that's all you're thinking about. But look beyond that and start being concerned about other people's businesses, other people's families, other people's children, and start to help. Start to sow help into other people. You start to seed help. Find somebody else that you can look on. Don't just look on your own stuff, but find somebody else that's coming up in the same business you are and sow seeds. Sow seeds. They won't understand, why are you telling me this? Like when you said you had a little system and you showed somebody else that system. Start to sow seeds. This is God getting involved. God will get there and help you. Start to sow seeds to somebody else. Find somebody else that might be in your type of work and your kind of field that's coming up there, and start to show them what God has given you and sow those seeds. And guess what? You plant those seeds will come back. And God's talking about quality life, a life that leaves an inheritance for its children. But sow seeds. Don't just think about your own ministry and your own thing. Start to sow into other ministry. That's one of the things that we're doing with this church. And with this ministry, we're not just concerned about my stuff and Nations Church stuff. We want to find other ministries that will heed the word of God and walk in the word, that we can help and say, hey, you go for it. You might be able to go into areas that we can't go. So can we send you there? Can we help you get there? Let us do your tapes. Let us make you look good. Let us make you sound good. I don't want to just look at our own stuff, but we want to find other people's stuff so that we can look at, because the Bible tells us to do it that way. Isn't that great? And that's how you bring abundance. That's how you bring blessing. And this is spiritual maturity. And that's in verse 4. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, this is God releasing you from competition. This is God delivering you from a competitive spirit. And later on in this thing, you're going to find out that God says in Ephesians, I believe it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. No man can put you where God wants you to be. God has to call you up there. And when God puts you where he wants you to be, nobody can take you down. So you need to be delivered. That's a blessing when God delivers you from the strife of man. And you're delivered and you start to operate in a different fashion. You can do this. And these are keys to success. And this is just basic teaching here to get us there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. 4. Serve others with a humble spirit. Isn't that amazing? How many of you want to be like Jesus? Want to walk in his anointing and walk in the blessings that he had? Well, guess how you got to do that? You got to find somebody to serve. Everybody, I got to find somebody to serve. We all, it says in the lowliness of spirit, find something to serve. It says, be like Jesus, serve others with a humble spirit. Look for an opportunity to serve. Look for an opportunity to be a witness and just say, hey, can I bless you in that way? It doesn't have to just be with money. How can I be a blessing to you? And many times people are saying, well, there's nothing happening. My business is not going right now. I don't have anything to do right now. Well, maybe God's called you to get in there and start working some of the scripture. That's when you really go to work. See, many people work for money. No, you work for the word. And see, that's when you really get to work. You got the opportunity to really work the word, because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we seek him by obeying his word, right? See, the devil will trick you and get you playing games with yourself. And you wonder, no money's coming in. I don't understand this money. What's happening? I'm just wasting myself. No save. No. The Bible says that all labor is profitable. All labor is profitable. What does that mean? That means that whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. that God makes sure that everybody that puts something out there is going to get something back in. That's why we tell people, do you have to have a job? The Bible doesn't say he that doesn't have a job doesn't eat. No, the Bible says he that doesn't work doesn't eat. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. You got something within you that you need to be motivated to do something. God wants you to do something. Remember that teaching that we had? We said God has called you something or allowed you to be somebody so that you can do something. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that I titled this thing, How to Get the Job Done? I'm talking to you about how to get your job done, your calling accomplished. And then when we look in the scriptures here, it's always in reference to sowing to somebody else. God says, look, when you look to somebody else, he'll look to you. You see how God does that? And you got to have confidence in that. Don't build your own house. Let God build the house. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Jump on down to verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. If you want to get the job done, watch your mouth. If you want to get your job done, watch your mouth and watch your confession and make sure that murmuring and complaining and arguments don't ever get into the picture, because you will never get your job done with that. Watch your mouth. No murmuring, no complaining, and no arguing will allow you to get your job done. Isn't it amazing? There is a spirit that God moves in. How many want God to do the work? So you might be able to function in anything, or you think you can function in everything. But if you want the anointing of the Holy Ghost to function in your life and to move and do the work, guess what? You got to set the proper atmosphere so that God can do what he wants to do. And he says, look, this is the type of atmosphere I've got to have. I've got to have an atmosphere with positive words. I will not function in strife. I will not function with those that make me sick. And let me tell you who makes people sick. The Lord says he can't stand those that have a proud look. God can't stand being around those people. That's why it says, do nothing in vain glory. Because if God catches your attitude, guess what? He's booking. He don't want to. He can't stand. How many got people you just can't stand being around? I mean, they just pluck your last nerve. Not because you're, it's just stuff that just grates on your, in your spirit. Well, there are attitudes that grate the spirit of the Holy Ghost. The Lord says, seven things I hate and seven are an abomination. And what does abomination mean? When God's abomination, or something that is abhorred by God. Well, basically, what does that mean? This is stuff that God just can't stand. He despises it. It's like, ugh, gross. Ugh. That's literally what that is. It's an abomination to the Lord. It means that God looks like, ugh. See, there's spirits. That grieves the heart of God. He gets out of there so quick. He said, look, that's why he took out Herod. Y'all remember Herod? They said, Herod, he's a man just like God. Thought he was a man just like God, and he did not give the glory to God. Herod did not give the glory to God. The king did not give the glory to God. He started receiving stuff under himself. You got to watch yourself. Oh, you're so anointed. Oh, you're the best. You're so good. They're setting you up to kill you, dummy. You better turn that stuff over to Jesus. There is none good but the Lord, and God will share his glory with no man. And if you're out there fishing for somebody to call you anointed, somebody to say you sing sweet, somebody to say you play great, guess what? You're in trouble. All the glory goes to God. Do nothing for vain glory. So you got to watch your atmosphere and watch your mouth, watch murmuring and watch complaining and watch arguing. And when you find arguments going on, you got every evil work. The Spirit of God has departed. Somebody say Ichabod. Ichabod has moved in. And the glory of God has moved out. Don't even try to prophesy. I can't stand it when people try to prophesy in the midst of an argument. You're not going to hear God. God's not there. Strife all through the house. And then that's most of the time in charismatic churches, most of the time when most people get motivated to prophesy is not when things go well and they want to speak a blessing, but when there's strife all over the house and everybody wants to open up and start to prophesy. Why? There are more demons and more spirits able to speak at that time. Demons love to prophesy. Devils got big mouths because they're foolish. Says a fool just runs his mouth all the time. So devils got big mouths. They love acting like God. They love to call the shots. Shame will be the promotion of fools. What does that mean? Shame shall be the promotion of fools. That means God will set you up to embarrass you in front of everybody. He'll promote you to shame you. It's like somebody said, you go into the house and you go sit at the head of the table. Humble yourself. God wanted me to share this with you so that we can help you. This is how to get the job done. And this applies anywhere in your life. It'll apply to your family. It'll apply to your business. God wants to bless you. And this is one thing that you have got to have in your life if you're going to be successful this year. God wouldn't be speaking more if what you had was enough. And I know there's an anointing on the Word of God. And we're taking advantage of it, but just don't be hearers of the Word, but be doers of this Word. There's prosperity on this Word that you're hearing today. This is a key into the abundance of the heart of God. God plans it out. He says, look, I'm giving you something to do, and now he's giving you a key on how to get it done. Now, many people will know what God wants to do, but they won't know how to get it done. But here, right here in the middle of the day, God says, look, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show you your purpose, and then I'm going to show you how to get your job done. I know so many people. I got so many friends and ministers. People I went to Bible school with, went here with that one, went over there with another one. And guess what? They know what God wants them to do, but they cannot get it done. But God wants you to have the ability to get the job done. It's not by might, nor by power, nor by ability, but by the Spirit, says the Lord, in this final day. 6, verse 16. One other thing that you need to have to get your job done. Holding forth the word of life, that you may rejoice in the day of Christ. If you want to get your job done and fulfill God's purpose, you're going to have to learn to honor the Word of God. In order to get the job done, you need to honor the Word of God. And there are many people that aren't getting what God wants them to get done because they don't honor the Word of God. He'll do the work if you honor His Word. Yeah, He wants to do the work. Yeah, He's willing. But He will only do it as you honor the Word. See, God will give you deliverance, and the deliverance usually comes in the Word. You got to follow that Word through so that you're able to come out. Verse 16, look at that. Do you see that? Holding forth the Word of life. How many of you want a life? Hold your Bible right now. Guess what? This is called the Word of life. This is called the Word of life. And if you want to get a life, you got to get the Word. People say, oh, my life sucks. That means they don't have the Word. They're not holding the Word. They might be holding on to fantasies and dreams and visions of things gone by and what they think things should be. And it's not just the promise. It's not just, see, many people just get the promise. The children of Israel have the promise, but they didn't grab a hold of it. There's life within the promise, but if you want to have life, you got to learn to hold to the Word of God on a daily basis. And I know many people, they hear the great things that God wants to do for them. They hear God's possibilities, and they never grab a hold of it. They don't have a life, even hearing all that stuff, because they never hold to the Word of God. How do you hold to the Word of God? By listening to what you're listening to today and taking these little 6 steps on how to get the job done and walking it through. And you're going to hold to the Word of truth. Say, I will do nothing this year in strife, nor to bring glory to myself. Not even attention. I will esteem others before myself. It's okay to do that. I will be concerned about others to the point that I'll be motivated to help them. I will serve others. Not only will I serve them, but I'm going to do it with a humble spirit. I'll never get too high that I can't act like Jesus. Many people get so high and stuck up, they get so anointed and so intelligent or so motivated and so promoted on to deeper and better things that they get to the point to where they can't act like Jesus. They were on throne so high they can't come down to act like Jesus. I will watch my mouth. I will not murmur, nor complain, nor argue. That is possible. God wouldn't teach us over and over and over and over again to do this if it wasn't possible. You just got to make up your mind that, hey, I'm just not going to do this. I know what it is, and I don't care. There's nothing. Nothing's going to get me to the point to where I have to do that. Complaining is not going to make my situation any better. Ever. Now, you can talk about something to try to make something better, but make sure you're not complaining. Murmuring is not going to make it better. Never has, never will. It's not going to do anything but tick God off. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. That's why he left the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, I'm not going to take them over to the promised land with me. You are crazy. I'm going to leave them right out there in the desert with all that stuff. All the time. God can't stand murmuring and complaining. God doesn't like it. Under no exceptions. And he can't stand arguing. Just doesn't move in that deal. He doesn't want to hear the argument. He doesn't want to hear who's right. And he doesn't want to hear who's wrong. He does not care. And many people get stuck in arguments and get stuck in situations because they're always trying to prove the other one wrong. God does not care. He just wants you to get over it and get your promise. The enemy's going to come at you with this stuff, and this will help marriages too. And an argument will come up, and you want to get to the bottom line of that argument. God is not concerned about that. He's just concerned about how you respond and what spirit you respond to. He'll take care of your stuff. He'll take care of your stuff. God saw. I mean, you're calling God blind when you're trying to get him to see how bad another person is. You're trying to say, God, you weren't there to see that. He said, look, I know. Let's not waste our good time talking about that thing. See, we go to God talking about people sometime and trying to wear other people out like God doesn't see them. He sees more than you see. But he chooses not to waste his relationship with you talking about somebody that's off. God is able to handle it. Don't complain about it, nor argue. Say, I will not complain, murmur, or argue, but I will honor the word of God. How many are you going to live your life this year as honoring the word of God? And you understand what honoring the word of God is. If the word says it, that settles it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, guess what? It gets better than that. God said it. That settled it. Whether you believe it or not. You know, you're just arguing by yourself. God said it, that settled it. And that's the problem with the world. They can keep arguing. God doesn't exist. They put that little four-legged fish on the back of their car, and they're still arguing. I don't believe it. God said it. I don't care whether you believe it. It's settled. He's coming back whether you believe it or not. You're going to go to hell whether you believe it or not if you don't have him. You don't have to believe it. God is reality. You don't call him into existence. He called you into existence. So you need to live a life of honoring the word of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.